Blog Talk Radio.
Hello from beautiful Missoula, Montana, and thank you for joining us again. This is a community of kind, thoughtful people who want respect for all. So we're especially grateful that you've decided to join us today. We're going to be talking about dog personalities and temperaments, but before we do, I want to give you some good news. We have been compiling a little booklet that you get. You can claim your own copy when you join our community at www.ilovepetstories.com. And on that particular one, the book that you will download are jokes, riddles, and one-liners about pets. And they're so much fun, I thought I would just read a few of those to you. And then I'll tell you some of the things that will be going with when you sign up at deathofmypet.com. But here are some one-liners. Until one has loved an animal, a part of one's soul remains unawakened. Isn't that true? Isn't that true that animals teach us how to love unconditionally? And John Galsworthy said, "Not the least hard thing to bear when they go from us, these quiet friends, is that they carry away with them so many years of our own lives." And Lacey Pettit has said, "A pet is never truly forgotten until it is no longer remembered." When I was teaching writing memoirs at our local adult education and with the Association of Personal Historians, it was amazing to me how many men chronicled their lives in their pets or their cars, but they seemed to be an anchor which held their life. They knew when they had Taffy, the terrier. They knew when they had Gretchen, the boxer. They seemed to use those as anchors. Incidentally, women tend to divide our lives into relationships. Well, let's see. That was before she was married, or that was after she was born. So they really are true that they carry with us so many of our years. Now, here's another one that Tom Jones has said. I don't think it's the same Tom Jones that was in the movie, though. Dogs have a way of finding the people who need them, filling an emptiness we don't even know we have. And that one's very apropos because today we're going to be talking about the types of dog personalities and the temperaments. And if you're looking for a dog, you're finding one that is looking to fill the emptiness you don't even know, there are some things that you have to look for. Now, I want to say that if you'd like to call in, if you're listening to us live, please call 917-889-8810, and you'll be on the line. But if you're looking for a dog, there are dogs that have been bred for certain temperaments, and those are dogs that, even if they're mutts, that temperament comes through, for instance, German Shepherds. You can usually tell a German Shepherd, and our little Rosie is an Icelandic Shepherd, but her father was a fence-jumping lab. Her face looks like a lab. She's small, like the Icelandic Shepherd, and she loves to lick your legs. And I found it very annoying for a long time until our daughter, who is the breeder, said, "Ah, but you see, she's a shepherd. She's looking for the lanolin. She is used to the lanolin," even though who knows how far back that went into her ancestry. So that is a temperament. That's something that is bred into that breed, and it has to be one that you're looking for, what will fit in with your family, because you can't break those things out. A personality, however, is what they have running around in their head, and that's usually the first part, the temperament, is genetic, But the personality is molded during the first few weeks of their life with you. And so that's something that's changeable. You can train them to do things. You can work with them. You can help them to be calmer. You can help them to fetch the paper. You can help them not to bark. But the things that are inbred are things that you really aren't going to be successful changing. So if you don't like a barking dog, then be careful when you're choosing them. So we're going to talk about these six different types of personalities. So hopefully you've narrowed down the breed that you want. The breed that I'm kind of leaning towards for my new dog is a King Charles Spaniel. Had a lot of people tell me what a wonderful, calm, loving dog that is. So I kind of have my eyes peeled for one. But now here are the types of personalities. A responsive dog is happy, outgoing, loving, alert, curious, and willing to please. When I think of a responsive dog, what comes into my mind are Cocker Spaniels. They're just so darn sweet. And it's almost like they smile at you. They just love you so much. We've always been happy with Cocker Spaniels, and I don't know anyone who hasn't. A nervous dog is someone who has excess energy, and they're pacing and panting and easily distracted, difficult to train because he can't concentrate and pay attention. And usually that will come if it's a genetic mismatch, if he has been bred incorrectly or, like in our case, a fence-jumping lab. You have to know that nervous dog is not going to do well in an apartment. He needs room to run. He needs somebody that will walk him daily. He needs somebody that's going to play with him. He wants you to be there with him all the time. Now, the next kind is a shy dog. And I see this so much because they are frightened. They're nervous. They're unusually shy. Caller, we have a caller from area code 502. Hang on just a minute. And let me just run through these six, then I'll be right with you. Shy dogs are very timid, and they're usually not good with big families. They're much, much better if it's like a retired couple or just one. And a shy dog hides under the furniture. And a lot of times that can be traced back to how they were handled when they were a pup. A sedate dog is quiet, inactive, and very easygoing. Once again, that's a great one for an apartment. Not overly enthusiastic, but his lethargy is comforting if somebody wants a quiet dog. Then aggressive dog is a dog that bites, snarls, growls, and threatens. And I know, like anything, if I say this, I'm going to get calls, but I'm going to say it anyway. Our insurance adjuster told us, because we have had quite a few rentals at one time, and they said they would not cover if we allowed pit bulls, because we did allow pets. That's a generalization. Most pit bulls are not dangerous, but it is one that the genetics of the pit bull tend to be aggressive. Then the stubborn dog. And that one, you got to love them. They're just like a 14-year-old girl. They'll do what they want to do when they want to do it. I'm going to open the line for our listener so that we can talk. Can you hear me now?
Hi, Judy. I'm
How
Carol.
Are you? Oh, hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm really good. So what do you have to add about dog personalities? Carol is one that I know loves pugs, right?
No, I'm a different Carol.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry. What's your favorite kind of dog?
That's okay. I've had several, rescued them, and I've had a little poodle Lhasa Apso mix. I've had a bearded collie mix. And my last dog, I had a beagle. And you hear so much about barking, but Annie, I named her Annie. I lost her 2 years ago, and I just have I get so attached to my animals.
You'll love what we're doing on deathofmypet.com. You'll have to sign up. Give us a few days to get this new book up there, but it's a giveaway for you, and I love you for joining us. And it has some wonderful quotes in there about losing your dog. Tell me about your beagle, because the beagle we had was a digger. And we lived in military housing in California. And when I took the beagle to a trainer, she said it was part genetic, and it was part that she wasn't trained early enough in her life. Tell me about your beagle. Was she responsive, nervous, shy, sedate, aggressive, stubborn? How would you classify her?
Well, I rescued her, and they said she was like 6 years old. And whoever had her, trained her to be an angel. I'm serious.
Oh.
Because I brought her home, because I told them, I said, I live in an apartment, and I, don't go for the barking and stuff. So brought her home, and we had her for 6 years. She never made a mess. She never barked except for a knock on the door. She would smell the garbage and just walk away. But my husband was in a wheelchair, and it's like it was meant to be. She was very gentle. And, you always hear about beagles, bark, 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 but she did not do that. She was a little angel.
Oh, isn't that great? Because, see, I had not, our beagle didn't bark. She just dug. So I think that, I think she had some very good training early on, and she must have felt very, very safe with you. I have to compliment you for something that you said that really resonated with me. And you said your husband was in a wheelchair, and you said it's almost as if she was meant to be. And
yes.
A couple of weeks ago, we interviewed a woman who told the story of Willie, the dog who was meant to be, and how her husband had never had a dog in his childhood, had never really wanted one, and all of a sudden saw this little innocuous ad and thought, oh, I'm going to go get that dog. And she said, out of the blue, and she said, they've been inseparable ever since.
Well, it's
so
like when I went to, they were having a weekend for a special prize, to adopt. And so I had picked out a dog, actually, and somebody's name was on it. And they said, come back at the end of the day. So I did come back, and the people decided to take the dog. And so, I left. And they called me and said, please come back. We have this precious little dog here, and I know, it'll work for you. So I said no, because I just have a hard time. And it took me 12 years to get another dog after my bearded collie.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I went back, and there was Annie, the beagle, in the cage. And actually, the cage was directly across the other cage of the dog that I was interested in. So anyway, I took Annie for a walk, and she just seemed happy-go-lucky and all this and that. And so I brought her home, and, it isn't meant to be, because I went home. I wasn't going to get a dog.
But it doesn't. How long did it take you to fall in love with her? The end of that walk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because she was so easy, She wasn't, she was just gentle.
Right. And that was what you needed in that time of your life. Had you been very young with small children, you would have wanted a dog that was more rambunctious. You would have wanted one that loved to play and chase. But at this point in your life, and certainly in our life, we want one that's content to go for a walk occasionally, but not two or three times a day, and to be very, very in tune with us. So let me ask you, did Annie choose you, or did you choose Annie?
I think Annie chose me because I just went home. But I got this phone call to come back. So I think Annie chose me.
Yep, yep. Isn't it interesting?
I had another dog, my bearded collie. And I had read about doing mental telepathy with your animals. So I tried that. I tried it, and I lived in Chicago area. But I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, so that's a few-hour drive back home. So I experimented on the trip back, and after I got home, I asked the dog sitter, I said, did he do this or act this way and that way? And she said yes, and he did things that I told him to do mentally. It was so much fun.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, you're not the one that I've heard say that. I've had many, many people who are animal communicators, some who have really worked to develop that skill, but others who just had such a close connection with their dog that they were able to transfer thoughts. And it is fun. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I tried that one time with my husband, and we've been married 50 years, but one time he was about 3.5 hours away. And I knew he was going into a Sam's Club, and we didn't have a Sam's Club here. And so I sat in the chair and just said, buy two pillows. And when he came home later that night, he said, man, I don't know what I bought any pillows for, but I bought a couple of pillows. Do we need them? And I just thought, yay, it works.
Yeah, it really does. It's the intention, and then you picture it in your mind at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? But I haven't tried it with any other animals. You know, it's been 2 years since I lost Annie, and so I'm looking around, but I don't know. I just did. I just don't know how soon I'll get another one. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's hard to lose. Carol, let me ask you a question, because I'm not familiar with a bearded collie. I'm more familiar with a collie, but I have never heard of a bearded collie. What is that?
Well, you can, you know, Google it. You'll see pictures. But it's he's like 70 pounds. It's a good-sized dog, and he's shaggy. If you let his hair grow out, it's like a Lhasa Apso, if you let the hair grow out. But I always
a big one, though.
A short and shaggy one, but he was kind of a champagne color. But if you Google bearded collie, you'll see them in different colors, and they're beautiful with their hair long and silky.
I will have to do that, because that sounds, you've painted a word picture for us. I think all of us who are listening now and will hear later can actually see that, and I'll bet you we'll really hit bearded collie on Google so that we can all see what it's like. Well, let me read you, while you're here, let me read you a poem that was written by a young girl to honor her dog when her dog left, just like Annie. If it should be that I grow frail and weak, and pain should keep me from my sleep, then you must know what must be done, for we know this last battle can't be won. You will be sad, I understand, but don't let grief then stay your hand, for this day, more the rest, your love and friendship must stand the test. We've had so many happy years. What is to come can hold no fears. Would you want me to suffer? So when the time comes, please let me go. Take me where my needs they'll tend, only stay with me until the end, and hold me firm and speak to me until my eyes no longer see. It is a kindness you do to me, although my tail its last has waved, from pain and suffering I've been saved. Do not grieve. It should be you who must decide this thing to do. We've been so close, these years. Don't let your heart hold any tears. And that wasn't the one that I had thought that I got, but I love that. That's because I think that the hardest part for us in losing a dog is you, coming to the point where we know that the dog's suffering too much. And when we get animals, go ahead, Carol.
I had her to the vet, and he tried everything, and it would help a little bit. But after a couple more days, she started feeling bad again. And my heart, I knew I couldn't do this, but it just, you know, it's heart-wrenching.
It is heart-wrenching. It is. And yet they know, and we know, when we get pets, when we get Annie or we get Rosie, we know with a surety that we will probably outlive them, that they will go before us. But it's still, so what we have to do, and one of the things we're working on in Death of My Pet is helping people to recognize how amazing that period was with that dog and the life lessons that the dog taught us, or the cat, or the parrot, or whatever. But when we reflect, I think often of like it was a book. So we can look back when we had Rosie, and when we had Gretchen, and when we had Taffy, and when we had Teak. And those are each books upon my bookshelf. And I can bring them down and look at the pictures and think about them and think what they taught us. Because far and away, they were much better teachers of human nature than we were able to teach them. And some of the things that they taught us was to love unconditionally. Don't cry. Yes. Don't growl. And forgive, no matter what you do for your dogs, you know, they really do want to please you. They really do want to love you. They want you to be happy. And so just living with a dog is like an entire college course in kindness.
Yeah,
and learning really. How to get along with other people. Can you think of one particular lesson that Annie taught you that, in reflection, now you can think of?
More or less, let go of the stress and be calm. And the issue with my husband at the time, you know, his illness, but. That's basically, you know, she was just always happy and ready to do whatever you ask her to do. And,
mm-hmm.
But she showed so much love and kindness and to everybody outside. I mean, she would just think everybody's her friend.
That's right. And I imagine that in that stressful time, she was also a companion for you, just certainly a caring companion that you could talk to when there wasn't anybody else you could talk to.
Oh, yeah. She was always at my feet or on the bed or wherever I was, she was right there, you know, and just wouldn't leave my side. And
yeah.
But she showed. I mean, she just showed happiness, wagging her tail, and gentle. If she put her paws up on your legs, she's so gentle. And my other dogs were not as gentle, but they were great dogs too. So,
yeah. Well, and don't you think that each dog comes into your life, and like we were talking about this, the six different types of dog personalities, when I reflect on that, I think of all the dogs we've had in our life and the stage of life we were in. So we needed a sedate dog right now. We never did need a stubborn dog, but I think our Basset Hound was that one. So we were kind of glad when we got stationed. We were living in Colorado Springs, and we got stationed in Hawaii, and we couldn't take our dog. And so my husband and I were grateful that we were able to give the dog to another family, because he was just stubborn for us. And we thought, well, let's let another family train him, see what they can do with him. But I think in each stage of our life, we will be given the dog, or the dog will find us.
Yeah.
Their personalities will match ours.
Well, the bearded collie, his name was Buzz.
And Buzz?
Buzz. I don't know why, but his name was Buzz. So he was very talented. My son had him sit, and my son would put a grape on his nose and tell him to stay. And then he would raise his hand, and Buzz would raise his nose up and then catch the grape. And he could catch
the tennis ball. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And he could catch a tennis ball. He could fly through the air and catch the ball and the frisbee. And he was just so sports-oriented. It was amazing.
And so how did your son feel about losing that dog?
It was heartbreaking also. Actually, I had to give him to my daughter out in another state and due to circumstances. And she had him a couple years. And she called me on New Year's weekend in 98 and said Buzz, she came home from work and she said Buzz was lying. They had a basement with a TV and all that, you know, but he was lying by the furnace. And he wouldn't hardly move. And so, anyway, ended up, you know, she had to put him down. But I talked to him over the phone before she took him to the vet. And that was just, oh, gosh. I mean, I just was so close to him, too. That's the dog. It took me 12 years to really, you know, make my mind up to get another dog. But it was just another heart-wrenching, you know. And just by saying goodbye on the phone, it was just,
But I do, just from listening to people in my interviews about pets and doing some work, one-on-one coaching with different people who are trying to overcome the grief and work through the process, there's a sense that that last pet, because I really do believe that they exist just in another sphere, that they don't die forever and ever. They're there somewhere. But I do believe, and many, many people I have talked to believe that that dog then helps you choose Annie. Maybe Buzz prompted Annie to choose you. But the gist of it is that you're well-loved. And because you are so kind, you are an asset to the world, and I want to thank you. I really do. I appreciate all that you do to bond this human-animal connection. So, congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm going, you know, with your website, that'll help so many of us. It'll be wonderful.
Yeah, I'm excited about getting it done. Megan's here right now working on it. We only have about 12 seconds left, so I want to read you a couple more of these that I just think. Here's one that sounds, his ears were often, by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, his ears were often the first thing to catch my tears. And Thornton Wilde said, many who have spent a lifetime in it can tell us less of love than the child that has lost a dog yesterday. And Roger Karras says, dogs are not our whole life, but they make our lives whole. So I agree with that. I want to invite you, and thank you again, and invite you to go to www.deathofmypet.com. And I love pet stories. Carol, I would like to ask you to write up the wonderful story you told us today about Annie and Buzz and submit it to I Love Pet Stories. There's a way there that you put it in, and I think you painted a wonderful word picture. I would love to have you share it. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. Thank you. I will. Definitely.
Okay, and once again, that's ilovepetstories.com. So we'll be looking forward to hearing it. Okay, well, I think this is going to shut off for us, but next week's going to be another fun interview, so we will see you then. Thank you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye.